Hello again. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're back on the air and still the number one publisher in Massachusetts of electronic entrepreneurial content. But that doesn't stop people from all over the world. 38 countries have picked up our show and downloaded different segments of ours over time. Thank you very much. We'll keep trying and we'll keep trying to do a better job. We talk about it every day at Radio Entrepreneurs. Better, better, better. That's our motto. And our next guest, Russ Goudreau from the law firm of the Wagner Law Group. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You want to tell us about your practice?
Sure. You want the history or the current story?
I'll take both.
Take everything.
Why? Right. Why not?
Well, I'm long in history.
And I like a story.
I started practicing law in 1970.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I started with a firm called Ropes & Gray.
I remember them.
It's a big firm here in Boston.
It used to be the biggest, wasn't it?
It still is, yeah. They're about 1,200 lawyers. And I graduated from a relatively unknown law school called Suffolk University Law School.
Right.
And I was the first student from that school to enter the firm of Ropes & Gray. I had nothing but Harvard and Yale wandering around the corridors with me. So it was an interesting experience.
So they looked down on you?
Not really. Actually, once they accept you, once you're with it,
you're Ropes & Gray, you're Ropes & Gray.
Nobody asks where you went to school or how you did or where you're from.
That's not what happened when I got here, but okay.
Until they accept you, they ask that question. You
know, yes.
Who the hell are you?
Right.
What do you think you're doing here?
Right.
So anyway, so that's how my career started. Congress was talking about a new law, which... I thought I turned that off. So sorry.
Let's start over.
There we go.
To this day.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's my wife, by the way. That is my personal phone.
Okay, just keep going, and he's going to cut it out, he says.
All right. So, in the early 70s, Congress was discussing the whole private retirement system, and they realized that something had to happen, in those days we had something called defined benefit pension plans, which are virtually extinct today. But that was the plan of the day for corporate America. Mm-hmm. My father was in that kind of a program. But companies were not properly funding those plans. They were not putting enough money in, and they were not properly investing those plans. So there were no standards for funding and no standards for investing. And as a result, a lot of those programs were underwater and could not pay retirees. There was a famous case, Studebaker. And anybody remember the Studebaker
car? Of course I remember the Studebaker.
Yes, it was in Canada. It was
I'm not sure that my team knows what a Studebaker was, but I do.
Well, that company went bankrupt and it had underfunded its plan, and many, many of its retirees lost all of their pension. So Congress decided that that was not acceptable. And so in 1974, they passed ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. So I'm a young lawyer at Ropes & Gray working in the tax department. And somebody came up to me and said, we want you to learn that statute. You're going to become our expert. And of course, I said, what statute? I had no idea what they were talking about. I hadn't followed it to save my life. In any event, I learned it, and it became effective in 1976. I was one of two lawyers involved. 20 years later, we had a staff of 35 lawyers. It was about a $25, $30 million practice. It was my career. And that's what happens in big law firms. You don't say no when somebody comes into your office and says, go learn a statute, because that's your path to success, and that's essentially what happened to me. I began in the 70s, I began teaching law. I started out at Bentley College, and then in the 80s, I began teaching at Boston University Law School, where I still teach. And in the 90s, I started teaching at Georgetown University, where I still teach, and I teach this
year. That's a little bit of a commute, isn't it, Georgetown?
Georgetown is wonderful, actually. A little bit of a community?
What? Commute.
Oh, commute. Oh, a commute.
You can't teach that weekly, can you?
Well, I used to live in, I started teaching there because I lived in Washington for a while. In 91, Ropes & Gray transferred me down to D.C. and made me the managing partner of their Washington office. Not sure why. The managing partner of the Boston office said, you were so successful creating an ERISA practice, we have no idea what that is or why it works, so maybe you can solve our problem in Washington, because that's an abysmal failure. So I went down with a business plan, and it worked out all right. We grew the firm from about 12 lawyers to about ultimately 70 lawyers in D.C. I stayed there for about 10 years, and that's when I started teaching at Georgetown. So it was kind of easy to do that. I also had to come back up to Boston once a week, actually, because in those days, even though it was a big law firm becoming somewhat international. Robson Gray was still very provincial. If you were a Boston lawyer, you thought that was the center of the world. And you apologized to people like me for having sent them down to Washington to this outpost. And, I used to have a real problem. I'd come up to Boston, they'd say, what city do you like? I'd say, I love Boston. Not true. When I go to Washington, they'd say, what city do you like? And I'd tell them the truth. I liked Washington. We really fell in love with Washington, D.C. It's a much more metropolitan city, a much more interesting city, candidly.
Very dynamic.
Very dynamic. Very, and, of course, the political aspect of it makes it
right.
Very exciting. When we started, Bill Clinton had just been elected president. I happened to be a Democrat, so that fit right into my
agenda. Well, it was a dynamic time, too. He had an agenda.
Yeah. It was very exciting.
Right.
So in any event, let's go 10 years ago. The firm has, Robson Gray has a mandatory retirement system.
Mm-hmm.
At age 65, you have to leave. You have to leave all of your clients behind. You cannot compete. You cannot continue working. Now, they can't prevent you from working, but what they do is they pay you a decent amount of money not to work. And if you work in a way that competes with them, they take away that they call it their partner's pension. So 2 years before I was about to hit this at age 63, I went to the firm and I said, can we change this policy? I want to keep working. I enjoy what I do. I don't find employee benefits wearing on my system. I don't have to stay up at night. I don't have to close deals on Sundays. I mean, relatively speaking, a good practice, an easier practice in terms of its physical schedule. And so they looked at me and they said, Russ, back in 1979, you wrote this policy. And I said, that's not true. I said, I was the most junior member of the committee of three. The three were managing partner of the firm, managing partner of the practice, and this associate. I did all the research for it, and I found in those days that age 65 was a relatively old age in the 70s. And so it seemed to make a lot of sense to say that's when partners should give up their partnership and leave. But today things have changed. I'm 63. I feel like I can work for another 10 or 15 years. By the way, I'm 74 now. They said, that's all fine, but, you know, we just can't change a rule where we've made people leave for all these years, so you have to go. So I started negotiating my exit with them, and I said, look, I'd like to keep working. I won't compete. I won't take any clients. I won't take any employees. I won't do anything. I'll go to a firm that, at least at that time, was a much smaller firm. Smaller clients that don't compete with the firm. And by the way, maybe you can refer business to me because my billing rate will be $500 an hour instead of $1,200 an hour. And there might be a lot of clients at Ropes and Gray who think, wow, Russ would be a bargain. And we liked him at $1,200. We like him even more at $500.
Right.
And so I worked with the firm. I worked with an outside consultant that the firm paid for. I mean, they're very fair. This Ropes and Gray, it was and is a very fair organization. And so they ultimately agreed. And I presented to them the proposal of going to work with Masha here at the Wagner Law Group. So they looked over the client base, they looked over the lawyers. We went through quite a bit of detail. In the end, the firm said, great, you can be a retired partner at Ropes and Gray, you can keep your Ropes and Gray partner pension, and you can go to work with Masha. And that was 8 years ago.
Why the Wagner Law Group?
Well, it was the most similar legal experience, it appeared to me anyway, as I looked at it, to what I had experienced at Ropes and Gray, much smaller. But the quality of the lawyers here, whom I had obviously met, there were only about seven or eight at the time. I think Ari was one of them, if I remember right. And I looked, looking at the clients, I liked the idea that the clients were small, mid-size, and some large companies, more like the practice I started out with at Ropes and Gray. I like to work with plan sponsors, employers who are sponsoring plans. I like to work with people in the human resource area, the finance area, and of course the CEOs, because I like to the fact that I help employees retire. I help them have adequate funds when they can no longer work.
A better mature period of their life.
Yeah, I mean, people do run out of steam. I haven't yet, but
so
people do.
What's
run
next
out of steam.
For Russ? What's Russ going to do when he grows up?
Well, that's a good question. I've got a little ways to go.
Clearly, the trains are still running every day, and you don't have no intention of.
Yeah, I say to my wife, do my socks match as I head out the door? She said, yeah, they still do. I said, well, as long as that's the case, I'm going to keep practicing law because I really enjoy what I do. And this is a very dynamic place. So what's happened at the Wagner Law Group, and I'm sure others have told you, is that where we started out with eight, we're now up to probably 28 and climbing. 2 years ago, Marsha hired my son, who is also a lawyer here now, learning employee benefit law. In fact, learning areas of that I don't know, I don't get involved with, such as Title I, ERISA fiduciary issues, and ERISA litigation. And he seems to have really caught on with that. But I want to continue working with my clients. The type of practice I have, I have recurring business from the same client. So I have maybe three or four dozen clients that I talk to every year, not always day in and day out, but certainly from time to time. And I had some of these clients, a lot of them came from Robson Gray because they didn't want to stay at that firm once they realized they had a cheaper version of me. And so they came. And so I have clients that I've worked with for 45 years. So it's a wonderful experience. Most of them have retired. So I'm now working with the second generation or third generation there. But I love it. Until somebody says to me, Rush, you're just too old. You shouldn't be doing this anymore. I can't understand what you're saying. You don't make any sense. Time to go home. I'm going to keep doing this.
I really enjoy it. It's wonderful, Russ. It's very encouraging. Gives me a lot of optimism myself for those of us who, you know, feel that we're getting better at what we do as we get older.
Well, you know, our next president is 70.
Right.
And he's working, you know, 14,
and he's got a lot more hair than
hours
me.
A day.
and he's had a lot more girlfriends too, obviously.
Apparently.
Russ, if somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
Somebody wants to find me.
Yeah, you know, phone number and email.
Okay, well, it's my email address is agadro@wagnerlawgroup.com. My phone number is 617-357-5200. My cell phone number is 617-678-0074. And my other cell phone number is 617-932-9251.
Oh, boy, and you got multiple glasses on, too.
I do.
Russ, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
You bet.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you.